Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's American
Ride. Right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For goodness sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Wow, back again, the Manny Fry Show. Woo! I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Annie. Brad Ryan, how are you? Good to see you again.
I'm well. How are you?
It's so funny, right. Ryan, because I reached out to you, a couple days ago and just said, hey, I haven't heard from you in a while. How's it going? Lo and behold, I think, 2 days later, we're on the show together. We didn't even
How
know this was going to happen.
That. There's so much going on. And it's hard sometimes to prioritize what you think are going to be, okay, we're going to start the show with this because it's the biggest story. Do we talk about Trump in the courtroom? Do we talk about the campuses and the protests that are going on there? Do we talk about something completely different? Later in the show, I was hoping that you can try to explain to me the appeal of the new Taylor Swift album. So we'll get to that, too. And I know people hate it when you criticize Taylor Swift. So don't worry. That'll be on the show, too. You can hate me. We're also going to try to I'm going to tell you about a story at work. I learned about some eating habits of people I work with that are truly bizarre. And they're calling me a food shamer because I shame them for the foods that they eat. And I'll let you guys decide if I'm in the wrong here. But either way, there's so much going on. You have the YouTube live chat poll going on. What's the poll for today?
The poll is, sorry, I had to pull it up. Do you support the foreign aid package passed by the House? And there are a number of options. Yes for both. Yes for Ukraine. Yes for Israel. Or just a flat no.
Okay, and we're seeing some people in the comments now already putting that out there, so that is great. So some of these protests that are going on in campus, I wanted to start here because it's so fascinating because the way that it's covered, depending on where you are and what's going on with the protests. For example, I'm here in Michigan. University of Michigan had a protest themselves, and we covered it on our news station. And the way that the news station covered it was, this is going on, but as of right now, it's peaceful. Now, it's not like that in all the other campuses. I don't exactly know the best takeaway for something like this. It doesn't surprise me something like this is going on. But what are you going to accomplish setting up a tent city on a college campus to try to protest your views? Do you actually accomplish anything? In their minds, what do they think's going to happen when all of this goes down?
Well, I think that the answer to that, and I'll tell a quick little story here. There was, and I don't remember the issue, and that's kind of the point of the story, is that here in Missouri, on the University of Missouri's campus a few years ago, something was going on that was getting some media attention because it was the soup du jour of the day. And the people protesting were all about the media. They were, oh, the media's here. And so they're protesting and they were doing all these sit-ins and hunger strikes and whatever it was. I literally cannot remember what the point of it was because the minute something else happened, I think there was a theater shooting, and I mean, we're talking about years ago now, the media moved on. And right. I remember our local media was still there covering it, but the national media was gone. And the student protesters got so mad that they started protesting the local media. They started protesting against them because they thought this was the only point that we were doing this was to get this attention.
Right.
And it's got to be similar that because it's such a hot issue right now, it's just going to keep growing. I think we addressed this the other day. Mm-hmm. Is this going to stop? No, probably not, because it's the issue of the moment.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I look at this and Ryan's right. What they want is eyes on their cause. I don't know that it's having the effect that they want it to have. I mean, I guess there's the idea that all publicity is good publicity. But man, they're looking really bad preventing Jewish students from entering into college, into their classes, or from getting to their dorms. Some of the chants that are going on, where they're actually yelling out their support for Hamas and not just Palestine. There's a lot of stuff there. I mean, blocking bridges, blocking the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, that doesn't make people like sympathetic to your cause. It makes them angry at you.
In a lot of ways, it's interchangeable in some ways in what they're supporting, and they don't really know the difference. And remember just a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we had that issue where protesters on college campuses would basically do the same stunt when there would be a conservative speaker that would be coming to the campus. They would protest. They would prevent conservatives or anyone that is not sympathetic to their, you know, small demographic of people they agree with, and they would either shout the people down or refuse them to come on campus. There was that one case where the one professor wouldn't even be allowed to come on campus. They prevented the professor from coming on because he challenged some of their thoughts. And I look at too maybe some of the irony that's going on, because the Supreme Court is looking at that case when it comes to homelessness and people setting up tent cities. And this has been debated before to the Supreme Court, but also when you have no other place to go, are you allowed to set up tents on the sidewalk, or is that cruel and unusual punishment, perhaps, if you tell them they have to leave and they have no other place to go when they're in an open public place? And it's so funny because they're out there in a public place setting up tents at the same time they're debating homelessness and if they should be allowed to do that. And it's totally unrelated. So if I was a reporter at this time, I would go out there and I would say, so tell me, why are you supporting the homeless at this time? And they would have no idea what's going on out there because they're just doing something completely different.
Yeah, we've talked about that a little bit, too. And we keep coming back to the same point. I think that you're sort of generally making here is that a lot of the people protesting don't really know what they're doing. They are chanting. That doesn't mean that it makes it okay. It just means that it's the same groups of people that show up at these protests over and over and over, depending on the cause. And it's different year to year. It's the people who show up for the pink hat rallies. We've talked about those. Some of the BLM stuff. Some of the racial stuff. You know. Whatever it is at the moment, it's a lot of the same people showing up for these things. And because of that, it's like they're both professional protesters, because there probably is some money coming in from unnamed sources here supporting these things. Mm-hmm. And then also that they're perpetual protesters because it satisfies them. Mm-hmm. And they don't really care what they're protesting. They just know that it's something in them that feels validated when they feel a part of the thing, whatever the thing is.
Also cult-like.
Very much, actually. Well, very much.
Yeah, but I think there's something deeper there. It's like this desire to make a difference and to be part of something that's bigger than what you are. And they really don't see that in this world. It's something that's been taken from them. So they latch on to whatever the cause du jour is, and they just go with it.
You remember when you were younger, I don't know if your dad's ever had that talk with you. And, you know, they would.
I just had that talk.
Oh, man, what a rude awakening after two kids to learn that. But no, not the birds and the bees talk, but the red flags type of deals, like, OK, if the girl is this or that, Or, you know, dad, you have this talk with your daughter. If the guys are like this, these are the red flags. And if you think about how innocent the red flags were just like 20, 30 years ago, well, if the person doesn't open up your door or doesn't tip or treats the waiter poorly, oh boy, those are some red flags that the person you're with may be not all that great. Now the red flags are, well, if they put on that pink hat and they are out in a tent city talking about the eradication of the Jews, that's a red flag. You're going to want to stay away from them. They're making it a lot easier to point out at this point. And I don't even know where you go from here, honestly. Can we play that one clip from Representative Lawler? It's basically a representative out of New York.
No, they're 100% right. And I believe these institutions should expel the students that have engaged in violence of any kind or anti-Semitic threats targeting Jewish students. It's one thing to protest. It's one thing to voice your disagreement with policies by the United States or Israel. It's a whole nother thing to call for the eradication of the Jewish people. And there needs to be consequences. I mean, look at one of my colleagues, Ilhan Omar, her daughter now claiming, oh, I didn't realize I'd be homeless and without food because I got expelled. I mean, there are consequences to actions. And that's what some of these folks don't seem to understand. You can't call for the eradication of Jews and think everything is going to be just okay because you're entitled to free speech. You're not entitled to make threats against people.
Yeah. And how much do you see of that? And honestly, I think about where I'm at, too. I'm in the Metro Detroit area, and we're in the heart of Dearborn. And we've seen some pretty terrible ways people have been treated in Dearborn. And a lot of times, it either could be faith-related, if you don't perhaps agree with the Muslim faith, Islamic faith, I should say. In some cases, if you are on a college campus right now, should you have to feel like because you are a Jew or maybe you support Jews that you are allowed to get shouted down, harassed, or maybe even abused while you're there to the point where these college campuses recognize that this threat is so real that they have to cancel in-person classes to opt for virtual classes because they're afraid of the safety of the people around them. And the protesters that are sitting out there right now are thinking, oh, no, it's everyone else is wrong. I should be allowed to harass these people as part of my free speech to go out there and hurt other people. No, I don't think so. I just don't know what their definition of free speech is if they think that's qualified.
Yeah, and this is a moment that conservatives should be talking about free speech, not just when we're the ones being censored. This is a moment where you go, okay, let's define the parameters here because this is where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah.
It's the left all the time that's saying hate speech isn't free speech. And it's like, man, if you're calling for the eradication of an entire race of people, that would fall under hate speech. And by your own standards, hate speech isn't free speech. Maybe you shouldn't be allowed to say that. I'm not saying that, but that's kind of like it's the hypocrisy that you get from the left. We can say whatever we want because in our minds or in our hearts, we believe that we're the good guy. We believe that we're on the right side of history. And therefore, we get to do whatever we want because, you know, the ends justifies the means.
Yeah. Can we hear some of those chants from the Yale students, too? Do you have some of those?
Yep.
OK, let's listen. Too, huh? It's amazing. Can they put that on their resume when they try to graduate and go out into the real world? I'm really good at getting people to chant nonsense. Like if you need someone to come in here and just get your workers in line, I can put a great chant together for everyone in the office. Do you think that's going to be something they'll push and try to use it when they apply for jobs?
You know what, Ryan? I think I know what you're getting at here, but you're viewing this all wrong. They are professional students. They'll never get a job. They'll never have to graduate. They're going to be in college for the next decade and also probably getting paid for it.
Yeah, why leave when everything's paid for you and they're going to forgive it anyway?
Yeah, they're going to forgive you loans. It doesn't matter. Just rack it up, man.
The ultimate life hack. I'm just going to live on campus forever. They'll just keep forgiving my college
They're paying
loans.
Me to make these chants, just like that conservative host in St. Louis said.
From the rivers to the sea. It's so funny because we had a reporter here, and I give him all the credit in the world. He went to one of these protests where they're chanting this, and he flat out asked them, do you want to see Israel eradicated? And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, it wasn't even like a thing they thought about for a second to be careful of how they answered.
Right.
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah. We want to see them gone, wiped off the planet. And it's so funny, too. You see with Iran and some of these other countries that have enabled Hamas and have supported them financially and with weapons to go and eradicate Jews. And then all of a sudden, Israel is upset because, hey, you know, Iran, why are you giving Hamas all this support to come kill us? And they react to that, and all of a sudden, Israel's the bad guys for, you know, oh, how could, you had no business with Iran there. Yeah, right. You weren't the ones providing them with all of this to begin the attacks. There's so much that goes on with this. Can I say I kind of relate to Alec Baldwin? Before we go to break, I just got to say, did you see the video with him trying to get a coffee, and someone sticks a camera in his face?
Oh, man.
And let's play this real quick if we could.
Alec, can you please say Free Palestine one time? Why did you kill that lady? You killed that lady and got no jail time? No jail time, Alec? No jail time, Alec. You're putting innocent people in jail, Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin.
Free Palestine, Alec, just one time, and I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, I swear. Just say Free Palestine one time. One time. One time. One time, Alec. You know he's a criminal. Come on, Alec. Just say Free Palestine one time.
Oh,
one
boy,
time.
She's so
just
annoying.
One time. Please. And I'll leave you alone. Free Palestine.
He's trying to get her out.
Please
yeah.
say it.
She's like, please leave. Please leave.
One time.
Oh, she's so annoying. All right. There's another red flag. If someone sticks a camera in your face or anyone else's face and tries to force them to say something you want them to say, son, that's another huge red flag. You don't hang out with those people.
No kidding. You're a horrible person. I hate you. You're a criminal. Say what I want you to say, and I'll leave you alone.
So terrible.
For my cause.
I mean, and she's like, you killed someone, Alec Baldwin. Say what I want you to say. She's lucky she didn't get shot by Alec Baldwin if she knows his history. She's out there harassing him. Oh, what a time to live. All right. Can I say, I want to talk about this one defense that's going on here in St. Louis. This guy, oh, poor guy, he didn't know what he was doing, hunting and intentionally killing a police officer. So we better let him off the hook. This is such complete nonsense. Can we talk about this after the break? I'm Ryan Renker, filling in for Annie Fry, a 97.1 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in. And boys, it's fun being with you here today for the couple of hours. I hope Annie feels better and things go back on track. But whenever I get that opportunity to come on to the airwaves here on 97.1, I hop on that opportunity because it's so much fun and I really do enjoy it. So thank you for having me, by the way.
Yeah, always a great time.
I wanted to look at a couple of stories here in St. Louis. And there's that one story about the person that killed a police officer. And I remember this story when I was working there, and I remember, wow, cold-blooded. They were sitting in their car. Someone just came up and shot them. And the person's finally going to trial. And they say, oh, no, we admit it. But you have to just excuse his actions because, you know, people don't think straight when they do crazy things like kill police officers. So that's an excuse. In fact, that is something we're going to have to use as our main defense at this point. And I got to say, I hope people don't buy this nonsense, and I don't want people to get off the hook, because I think in the world today, we blame so much on mental health issues that we were even willing to sympathize with someone that killed a police officer to say, oh, no, that's OK, we'll let this one go, is not the type of justice I want. And can we play KSDK? They were covering this the other night.
Officer Tamaris Bohannon was just 29 years old when he was gunned down by a man who had barricaded himself in a stranger's home in the Tower Grove South neighborhood. It was August of 2020. Kenworthy's public defenders are arguing he should be found not guilty by reason of mental defect. Now, law experts tell us that's a high bar to meet.
I'm going to tell you something that the defense doesn't normally say in an opening statement. We admit it. We admit that Tommy did the things that night. What happened that night is simply not in dispute. What we're here for is why it happened. And the reason why these things happened that night is because Tommy suffers from a serious mental illness, a mental illness called schizoaffective disorder.
So when we're up against someone that's done something terrible and their main defense is, well, mental health is what caused it, so we need to use this as the defense. What do you guys think? Are you buying it? Are you going to sympathize with the person that killed the cop?
No.
No, it should. It should be as simple as that. Nope, we're done.
No.
Close the case.
I mean, these kind of cases, if you know somebody who genuinely has mental health issues, you know that they're, that exists. You know that there could be some motivation for it that doesn't make any sense outside of the person's brain. So I'm not saying that those things don't exist. I am saying that there still has to be full culpability for them. You can't just say, well, this is the way my brain works, and then, well, okay, then I guess you don't really get a sentence, or you get a super light sentence. It just doesn't work that way. There's still consequences for your actions.
Well, the thing about it is you've got to ask yourself a question. Okay, let's say this person does seriously have a mental health issue. Is this person a danger to themselves or others? And his lawyer said right there, yes, he did this. So he was obviously a danger to somebody else. He was a danger to others. So like Ryan's saying, okay, maybe you don't go to prison, but you are definitely institutionalized and imprisoned in a way that you can get treatment for your mental health disorder while also not being a threat to the public.
Oh, I'd be fine with him going to prison too. I mean, I have no question about that. I think we're so sympathetic to the person that commits some of the most heinous crimes, in this case, killing a police officer, completely innocent, that we are so willing to forget about the people that have been victimized. We're going to say, you know what, your problems as the victim and what's left behind after someone completely destroyed your life, we sympathize with the person that started all of this more than you. Right. And we have to stop doing that if we're going to stop any of this nonsense from happening. And on top of that, I mean, what reputation does St. Louis have normally when it comes to prosecuting people that deserve to be in jail? Well, we've gone through some pretty terrible years in St. Louis where we saw the consequences of that, where we're just going to drop the charges, or we're going to let them out of jail, or we're just, oh, we're too busy to take this case up, or we're just not going to retry this person. And the people just go on and on and on and on, recommitting the same crimes, ruining other people's lives over and over again. And they do it with the guys that were so, we're not sympathetic enough to the person that's out there shooting police officers. So we need to show more sympathy. I just don't buy that line of logic. And I think we have to stand so much stronger with the victims of these crimes. And we have to show them we stand with them by not allowing things like this.
Yeah, the concept of showing mercy to somebody is not a bad concept. It's just not the really the role of law enforcement and of prosecutors to do that.
You don't want to show them mercy if they're not actually repentant of what they did.
Well, that too. But we get into a situation now where when you lead with just let's show broad mercy, like the deep blue areas of the country, the cities are leading with let's try to find out why this person did this instead of let's all acknowledge first that the thing that the person did was wrong. How do we stop that kind of thing from continuing to happen in general, but also in specific, this person from doing that thing ever again. That needs to be the where you start. Then you can do all kinds of, you can figure out the, because I don't know the details of this case to say whether, oh, he probably is mentally insane or whatever. He might be completely fine. They're using that as a defense. He also might have serious mental problems. Again, the point of the case really isn't the purpose. It's the way we're approaching all cases with the idea that we want to try to find that thing that makes us understand this person more. You can't start at that point.
Well, we can understand why they got there, but that doesn't excuse the behavior that they did. And again, you get them help or you lock them away, but you can't leave them on the streets.
Absolutely. And imagine the family sitting there. Now, he was married. He had three kids sitting in the courtroom and looking directly at his widowed wife and his now fatherless three children, looking at them and saying, you know, I'm going to look at you and I'm going to look at this beautiful face of this family, but I'm still going to side on the person that killed your father. And I just don't know the type of person that would be able to do that. And that's why I can never be a lawyer. I know some people are forced to defend certain people and come up with the best defense they can. I just can't. It makes me wonder, too, why it took so long to get this person to go to trial to begin with. This was, what, 4 years ago almost? That's a long time to wait to put someone to trial. And a lot of things could happen between now and then. How do we know what his state was back in 4 years ago? Who knows, any of this stuff may have been triggered after the fact, and now they're using it as an excuse after the fact. I think that's a question that probably needs to be asked too. Can I ask you about red light cameras coming back to St. Louis? This is so stupid. I hate red light cameras.
Oh no, I didn't know about this.
Apparently they're making a comeback. I saw Fox 2 did a story about it. Essentially the aldermen got together and they said, oh, you know what? This is going to solve all of our problems. Red light cameras. Do people still drive crazy in St. Louis? I'm just curious. I haven't been there in a couple of years.
Oh no, it's all solved.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
it's great.
It's great. So I don't even know why we need these red light cameras. Everything's fine.
Charlie Brennan took this all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court and won. One of the reasons why it went away what year was that? 17, 16? I can't remember. It was a long time ago. But basically, the idea was if you're driving a car, you need someone to represent the person that is putting this offense against you, and the cameras didn't qualify for that. That's basically a simplified way of looking at it. And it was successful. Beavis Shock, I think, took that all the way to the Missouri Supreme Court and won. I would like to talk to him again and see what he thinks about this, if they're already mounting some sort of legal challenge to what the aldermen are putting together. But the idea of the red light cameras, to me, is just so stupid. All it is another way for the government to harass you, because all these violent people that are like blatantly, you know, drag racing down the streets of St. Louis, that are, you know, driving up on curbs, nearly hitting pedestrians. And we're not talking about someone that just, you know, hit a red light. We're talking about people that like purposely swerve around cars in the left-hand lane to go around other cars at a red light. Here's what's going to happen. None of those people are going to face consequences because, one, they don't have the plates on their car to begin with.
Yeah, that's true.
And number two, there's no police officer there to enforce it. So what's going to happen there? You're just going to see a bunch of people that may be going to St. Louis downtown for a moment. They're like, okay, well, I've heard things aren't as bad as they say downtown. And then they get hit with two red light cameras because they, you know, accidentally didn't see something because they were looking around and, you know, didn't want to hit someone else because they were driving like nuts. And then they get their car broken into while they're down here too. That's the welcoming mat that downtown St. Louis has to you right now.
Yeah, the people going to pay these fines are the people who pay their fines. not the people who always are breaking the law. I guess
you're right.
You know, this probably comes from, because it was a pretty big local story, the intersection where there were like 10 cars in a row that just blew through a stop sign or a red light.
Was it over by Crown Candy?
It was very dangerous. And I don't remember if somebody got hurt or somebody almost got hurt, but it's constantly happening. And so I think this is probably a reaction to that, which isn't a bad thing, that they're saying, look, we can't just keep allowing lawlessness, but if they're going against the Missouri Supreme Court,
yeah,
then you are lawless. You can't just do that.
That was going to be my question. It's like, well, if the Missouri Supreme Court has already ruled against this as unconstitutional, how are you going to implement this again? And maybe the answer isn't necessarily red light cameras. Maybe the answer is police officers on the streets enforcing the traffic laws. I mean, Ryan, you said this. I mean, half of these people don't have license plates on their car, or they're the temp tags from like 2021 or something like that. The other day, I was in O'Fallon, Illinois. And somebody had a piece of cardboard taped to their back window with a license plate number written on it. Like, it wasn't even official. I've got a picture of this in my phone. I'm not kidding.
Oh, great.
But my thing is like, so they, this person that does that, they run a red light and you mail them a ticket? Okay. Well, they're not going to show up for that.
I know. If I'm remembering correctly, this is the way they get around it. They say there is going to be someone monitoring all the red lights. So when something's triggered, there will be human intervention that then decides if they're going to send you a ticket or not. But let me say this real quick, going back to Wickens, what you said. So the people that are going to pay this are the people that are going to pay this. These are the ones that are normally law-abiding citizens. The people that are not going to pay this, can I just look into my crystal ball and tell you what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
They are going to pile up ticket after ticket, and then they're going to cry, oh, I can't afford all of these tickets. I can't work. You can't jail me for this. And then through the great, wonderful aldermen and all the compassion we have in the city, they're going to take the people that have piled this up, and they're just going to put a mass amnesty and forgive all of these old tickets from people that don't pay it anyway. You know, oh, you can't take my car away because I can't pay this. Oh, you can't jail me because I can't pay this. I'm going to miss work. It's a vicious cycle. Okay, fine. We're going to forgive all of these tickets that you should have been paying to begin with. Everyone else will be paying it. Everyone else will be paying the price. But the people that would normally be breaking these laws purposely anyway are going to get away with it anyway, either by not having a license plate or registration, or just waiting it out long enough and realize there's no consequences for doing it anyway. It's
well,
so stupid.
All that's hypothetical because we don't have these problems in St. Louis anyway, like we said at the beginning.
Wonderful place.
Of the segment.
It's a utopia.
Yeah. I know that you haven't driven these roads in a while, but they're good. They're smooth now.
Yeah, no potholes.
Yeah. There's very little crime. They've taken, you know, all those big flower pots they'd put at the end of some roads?
Yeah.
They've taken those away because we don't even need them anymore. You can go anywhere you want because it's all safe all the time.
Right. No drag racing. No sadness.
Well,
no
there
sorrow.
Actually is no drag racing because, no, there's no people. there's no like action, you know, like nothing's happening. It's kind
of
like,
the what was it? The ride of the century has turned into the ride of the millennium. They're just, they decided to stop doing it so often.
Yeah,
they said, okay, we're done. We're just done with all the lawlessness. No cars are getting broken into. Nobody's getting robbed. Everyone's great. People are coming downtown and shopping and spending their money. No one's worried about their safety. St. Louis has just turned around. That's all we needed. All right, Wiggins World's one of my Wiggins America, excuse me.
Thank
it's
you.
One of my favorite segments, and I can't wait to do that after the break. I'm Ryan Recker filling in on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Always good to have some time with you here today. But when I do fill in, there's 2 things I look forward to. On Fridays, I look forward to the custom intro. And any other time, I look forward to this segment. Wiggins!
Oh, Wiggins!
Yep, it's the best segment in all of radio in the country, as I've been told by Annie. Like, that's what she tells me. Definitely not putting words
people
in her mouth.
People tell me.
Yeah.
Make sure you do accordion hands when you say that.
It's fun to attribute quotes to Annie when she's not here. So I'm going to continue to do that.
You know she listens, right?
Nah, let's not worry about that for now. We'll worry about that tomorrow.
I don't have to worry about it at all.
So this is a kid, I guess. Not kid, because Leah, you're our Gen Z representative. You're not a kid.
Am I a kid?
You're not really a kid. He's about your age.
You're kid-ish.
Yeah, well.
Now, he's 20. So
He's
an adult,
I'm
technically.
I'm about to turn 27, so.
So you're not a kid. But he's 20 years old. He lives in Virginia. He's going viral for complaining about the amount of work he's doing and the amount of money he's making. Mm-hmm. Now, at first blush, my reaction was, here we go. Kid on TikTok complaining about working too much.
I was like, so he's every American.
Yep. You're like, this band couldn't come quick enough.
Exactly. So I looked into it a little bit more and found out, actually, some of the things he's saying aren't just because he's young and doesn't want to work. In fact, it seems like he's fine working. He just doesn't want to have to work 90 hours a week to get the things that should be standard of living that we've kind of come to expect in America. Mm-hmm. And so with our Gen Z representative, Leah, here, I wanted to go through some of the things, the claims that he made, see if they apply to you, but also see if they apply to the rest of us too, because some of what he's hitting is just economic problems. And they're kind of general things, okay? So don't like think this is going to blow your mind, but some people do have problems with this. He says that he actually was interviewed by Fox News. He works in the car industry. Mm-hmm. He said he earns three times the federal minimum wage, which admittedly is very low. It's $7.25. Mm-hmm. But that would mean he makes roughly $21 to $22 an hour.
That's not bad.
That is not bad. That's not bad money. Yet he claimed he couldn't even afford to rent a one-bedroom apartment.
Oh.
Where does he live?
It doesn't say where he lived. I don't know that he was very keen to share that. But he did say that in his eyes, the American dream is dead. He said, it's over, it's gone and forgotten. And here's why, and some of the things that he's saying, here's what I've had to do. It's not necessarily what I want to be doing, but it's what everybody has to do to just get by now. He said, first, and this isn't like, again, blow your mind stuff, stick to a budget. Is this something that we all are fine? Like, nobody has trouble with this in the room, right? Sticking to a budget. Is this an area of contention for you, Leah?
I
love how you went to her first.
Well, yeah, he's
coming to you next, Ryan. Yeah.
I don't honestly have much experience in that yet because I still live at home with my parents,
okay,
which I won't be much longer. But so that'll be my first crack at budgeting. Yeah. I'll have to learn.
I would say start now.
Yeah.
Just start getting the practice.
In the habit.
In the habit, yeah.
Is this something that you're moving out soon, apparently. Mm-hmm. Has it been tough to find a place because rents are so high?
So I got really lucky when I was getting ready to move out and wanting to look places. My friend from our gym was actually looking for a house and was looking for a roommate. So it was like
perfect.
Perfect. So I did not have trouble. And she's willing. She understands my job situation here and she's willing to work with my, you know, whatever I've got going on to help with rent. So I am very lucky.
That's great.
I know I'm the exception.
Ryan, Brad, do you guys have trouble sticking to a budget before we move?
My wife and I have a budget and that's what we do. We just budget stuff.
How intense about it are you though, Ryan Recker?
Kids, man. What are you going to do? Kids throw the budget off. That is completely, you think you got it all figured out. And then next thing you know, kids, man, that changes everything. I mean, we do fine. It's not like we are going crazy with money. I mean, we're very modest. And I like to look at myself as very frugal, and I've been accused of being very cheap. So I think that offsets a lot of the problems we have.
Yeah, I'm also very modest in dress. I don't show off a lot of
what
I have to show off. here's another one that this guy says. He says, quote, I didn't go to college because the price of student loans are ridiculous. Bad move because you might have been forgiven by the administration. just milk that cow for all it's worth. Even after college, I would still have to pay off those loans and be stuck in a hard spot like every other American is right now. Again, this is sort of old news, but he says paying down debt at a faster rate is one of the best things that he's learned to do. Is this a priority for you?
Paying down debt at a faster rate?
Yes.
Attacking debt. Debt can be very bad.
Oh, yeah. And I remember when I had student loans, that was a high priority, try to get that down as fast as I could. You know, there was times when I thought, you know, I had things figured out. And then next thing you know, what was the Obama car thing? The cash for clunkers
cash
came
for
around.
Clunkers.
I ended up buying my first brand new car because of that. I had a clunker and I said, oh, this might be a good opportunity for me to get a car. I don't know, $4,000 or $5,000 off. And I did. So I added more debt at that time and then I paid it off quicker. And just like my student loans, I aggressively tried to pay things off. Now, admittedly, it was a lot easier to do these things when the interest rates were a lot lower. Today, it's insane how much harder it is to pay off debt when the interest rates are so high. Like the mortgage we have on our house is the only debt our family actually has. And I would be making so much more progress on this thing if I didn't have such a high interest rate that I had to force myself into when we moved up here to Michigan and had to start over again.
Yeah, and the interest rates are forcing people to stay where they're at longer, too, instead of upgrade, because you can't afford to leave your low interest rate. It's actually related to one of the last things he says here. He said to Fox News that his parents and grandparents, and we hear this refrain a lot, were able to buy homes decades ago despite making significantly less, even adjusted for inflation, than he does now. He added the necessary caveat about inflation, but he's still upset that many people can't afford rent or buying houses.
Yeah.
But can I just say real quick?
Please.
So he's the one giving this advice?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I'm broke. I can't afford to live anywhere. So take my advice on life. Why would we listen to him?
Well, you know what, though? He's hitting on things that I think everybody is hitting on, even though, and what that's one of the reasons I said, Leah, you got to come in for this one, because it's going to hit people at the Gen Z level, the people who are just entering the economy, worse than those of us who've been a part of the economy for a little bit longer, because you have less to build on.
The housing market is so crazy right now that even somebody that's established like myself, it would be hard for my wife and I to find a different house to move and to change our situation. I mean, thankfully, we're happy with where we live and all of that other stuff. But to try to find a house in this market, it's terrible.
My friend is struggling to find a house right now. I mean, she's looking everywhere and she's just, so I mean, I'm not going to be moving out soon, but
Because I do real estate, I hear a lot of stats and stuff. And one of those that I've heard recently that I'm like, that is a huge cause of the problems we're experiencing right now, is that we haven't been building houses at fast enough rate for the last 10 plus years. And the reason for that is, get this, and this number is a few years old, just to build a new house, you're already talking about roughly $80,000 in just sort of government boxes that you have to check. Restrictions, regulations on all the ways you have to build a house that you didn't before.
Well, for example, in Illinois, you have to put an EV charger in any new construction.
Supposedly. That kind of stuff adds to the cost. I mean, that one's ridiculous. But even things that we would mostly agree on, it all raises the price of houses. And it is different by state. It's different by region.
Here's a couple of things he needs to point out, this guy. Number one, there's a reason for this. And if anyone has any understanding of what it was like just even 4 years ago, call it for what it is. Bidenomics is what you're describing you're having such a hard time. So call it for that. Number two, I think sometimes people get into their mind that they have the freedom to do what they want and live wherever they want. So they have the privilege of having this dream lifestyle before they reach the point where they can afford the dream. So they feel slighted when they don't start off with the dream. So what this guy is doing is working towards a lot of different things, but he doesn't realize it was a lot easier to hit that dream 4 years ago. And you may have hit it quicker if it wasn't for Joe Biden.
Yeah, your money has been devalued tremendously in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't go as far, and it's why everything costs so much. So his last little piece of advice was to invest your spare change. Now, you can go beyond that, of course, but if you have a little, he's saying save it and invest it and let it make money for you. There you go.
All right. The Manny Fry Show. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Annie Fry. Don't go anywhere on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.